ladies and gentlemen, the story you are about to hear is true.
Dateline, Omaha, Nebraska. An Air Force veteran thwarted a would-be thief's attempt to rob his Omaha jewelry store by brandishing his handgun and sending the suspect running. Surveillance footage captured inside Sidrani Jewelers last Saturday shows a black-clad robber smashing one of the store's glass windows with a rock to let himself inside. The criminal didn't anticipate on a Saturday night that anyone would be there, let alone that they would be military trained. The store's owner entered from a back room and leveled his pistol at the perpetrator. The jeweler said the thief was almost comically holding a breaking tool over the glass when they locked eyes. Seeing the gun, the masked man raised his arms, then turned tail and ran, panic, back through the broken window. The store owner, who spent 3 years deployed, including a year in Afghanistan, said he thanked his lucky stars that he put so much time and thought into repetitive training and practice as to how to responsibly carry and deploy a firearm. A public information officer with the Omaha, Nebraska Police Department told Fox News that the suspect had not yet been identified or arrested. This has been the DGU Files.
The story you have just heard was true.
America Armed and Free is a paid program on KVOI, wholly owned by Charles Heller, produced, engineered, paid for, and hosted by him. Any opinions are his, not necessarily the station's.
I, Harry S. Truman, President of the United States, dedicate this day of Sunday to America armed and free.
The Constitution does not say that government shall decree the right to keep and bear arms. The Constitution says the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
I am a minute man. I am the guardian of America, armed and free. For we knew it will always be the citizen who is the guardian of America, armed and free.
Welcome to America Armed and Free, a program dedicated to preserving your God-granted, constitutionally guaranteed individual right to keep and bear arms in defense of self or state, understanding that the citizens are the militia. This program is produced by Charles Heller and is not endorsed by anyone who isn't pro-choice on freedom.
We are the guardians of America, armed and free.
Indeed, we are the guardians of America, armed and free, both in uniform, as my guest has been, and myself, who is not, unless, of course, you count ROTC or maybe Boy Scouts. And we are discussing, ongoing discussion of the possibility of doing some constitutional amendments to increase the age of what a person, the minimum age a person would have to be to sit in the Senate or the House. And with the idea of said being of such amendment being that they could spend much less time in office because they'll time out on the planet and they will have a maximum of service in there of 12 years. And so what would be the minimum age for being in the Senate or the House?
Well, okay, that's a good question. And I have right in front of me here one of my seven proposed amendments deals with that. And I quote, to be elected or appointed, that has to be put in, the appointed part, because if a representative or senator dies in office, they have to be replaced. To be elected or appointed to the House of Representatives, a person shall have attained the age of 50, and for election or appointment to the Senate, the age of 60, and no person shall serve in the Congress of the United States more than 12 years. Now, that's a very simple, straightforward, explicit proposal for changing the Constitution so that, an older Congress would be appointed and they couldn't stay in Congress more than 12 years. By doubling the ages, because at present it's 25 for a House, representative of the House, and 30 for a senator. And it's only 35 for the president himself. By doubling the ages for election to our bicameral two-house Congress and limiting the term of office in Congress to 12 years, being in Congress one's entire adult life would become impossible. And that's, I think, something that fundamentally needs to be changed. There's, when the country was established as the United States of America under the Constitution of the United States of America, there were only just under 4 million people. Now most of our states have that amount of population.
So in fact, few don't.
There's plenty of, there's plenty of talent out there, plenty of people who, if they didn't have this perception, which the American people do have, all polls show this, of disgust with the corruption of Congress, we have plenty of people that would make superb senators and who might be willing to do it for two terms, just go through one election, a re-election, or people who might want to be 12 years in the House and facing this constant two-year cycle.
Yeah,
six terms. So these things are not beyond remedy. They do have remedy. And in this concluding part of the my presentation or remarks this morning, before we get to the listener calls, let me just run through a kind of brief history of government in the United States. Now, ever since the 13 British colonies in North America declared independence from Europe in 1776, government in America has had two major components. One, the state governments, and two, the government for the union of the states. Now, the former component, that is the state governments, is the more fundamental because it created this the second thing, the federal government, when the states ratified the Constitution that was written in Philadelphia.
In 1787.
Yeah, 1787. Now, let me pause here and emphasize something very, very, that's very, very true and very important to our consideration, our thinking about what the subject this morning is, the crisis that the government of the United States is in and how it can be remedied. And that is government by consent of the governed. Now, this is mentioned prominently along with the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness as an inalienable, unalienable right of human beings to have this consent of the governed. And it's the crux of everything that I'm talking about here, because the people of the states have not consented to what is going on in Washington. It's been a myriad of small usurpations. That was a word that was frequent in the 18th century and less frequent today.
And in the Declaration.
Yeah, and in the Declaration of Independence, which means usurpation is to take something that's not rightfully yours. It could be property. In this case, we're talking about it's a political right. And so the Declaration of Independence identifies government by consent of the governed as a God-given, unalienable human right. And that's this consent of the governed is one of the most important contributions that this country has made to world history and proper government.
Can I interject something?
Sure.
It also is the point of inflection for Marxism, because what Marxism attempts to do is undermine the consent of the governed.
That's right. Lenin, if you read Lenin, you'll see it very plainly manifested that the only principles that mattered to him were the only entity, rather, that mattered to him was the Communist Party, which he dictated to, which he ran. So that's the next point I want to make. When the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics instituted in the 1960s, this long, all-embracing campaign of anti-Americanism to undermine the confidence Americans had in their culture. It was designed to destroy consent of the governed and replace it with consent of men who were organized for self-interest.
Experts.
Yeah. And that's something that we have to be mindful of when we think about whether a constitution, a convention of the states should or should not be held. So we've had generation after generation after generation starting in the 1960s and lasting beyond the collapse of the Soviet Union, a succession of a long-term agitprop campaign in the United States. The general result of this, plus the usurpations that had been going on before World War II in our government, have resulted in a regime now. Rush Limbaugh, I remember, used to delight in using that word regime as a description because it's a Marxist term for what we have in America. And he had a point, and I'm making the same point right now, that what we have is no longer a constitutional republic. We don't and haven't for a long time lived in a constitutional republic. We've been living in a quite different under a quite different government.
Sort of a republic of bananas.
Well, today's federal office holders seem to accept government by experts, scientists, that's what they quote, yeah. Call themselves. Power brokers is another term for these people. And I would call them self-interested bureaucrats.
Scientific Marxists.
Instead of a government of laws completely derived from the Constitution. And I'll give you a very good, recent, fresh example of what I'm talking about here. The reign of terror that was launched in 2020 in the United States by, quote, scientists, Fauci, referred to him constantly with great pride, great emphasis as a scientist. The reign of terror launched in 2020 by scientists in the federal medical bureaucracy destroyed lives and destroyed property of Americans throughout the country without the, quote, due process of law required by the Fifth Amendment, while at the same time canceling big time the freedom of religion. In 2020, I remember Easter was not held. Synagogues were prohibited from opening their doors to their rightful worshipers and all manner of Protestant churches. And
tell you what. There was complicity from the rabbinate and from the diocese and from the ministers, the rabbis, the priests. Everybody went along.
That's true. I changed churches because of the attitude of the priests in my Catholic church, where my wife and I had been going for years, because of their complete subservience to the civil authority. This is prohibited in Article. In the First Amendment,
right.
The Bill of Rights. So they cost people their livelihoods in terms of making their commercial property valueless because people couldn't come to their stores or whatever their business
and
was.
And they also decided on winners and losers. Like you could go to Home Depot, but not to the local hardware store.
And you could go to liquor stores and bars.
That's a vital function.
Yeah, that's a vital function. Yeah. But they call themselves boldly, blatantly, they call themselves the cancel culture. See, they're going to cancel. And what they were canceling was the freedom of worship, freedom of speech. You couldn't criticize their what they were doing.
The government also
freedom of press. You couldn't print anything against right. their.
The government also went into the back doors of most of social media and made it so that people, the main channels people have today, the individual has today, to object to the things that government does.
Yeah.
And cancel that.
Yeah, that's right. And they canceled freedom of assembly, flat out. I mean, you couldn't congregate. You had not only couldn't congregate, you had to stay 6 feet apart from other people. It's a little hard to carry on a conversation on anything when you're 6 feet away from the listener you're speaking to. So
it also interferes a little bit with marital relations.
Well, I don't think they didn't. They might have wanted to, but they didn't go into the bedrooms of the country. But here's the point. Here's one of the main points.
What do you mean might have?
Oh, be quiet, Charles. Be quiet for a minute.
Okay, shut off my mic.
Well, the orchestrators and managers, as I call them, of that reign of terror, which lasted for years in 2020, 2021, 2022, beginning to tail off in 2023 and has even more so this year. But it did last for years. And the managers of that pandemic, or as it's right better called, more precisely, that plandemic, acted as if the Bill of Rights simply did not exist at all. I mean, it wasn't there. Moreover, none of them who did this flagrant breaking of the contract of the Constitution with the people of the states, none of them suffered any consequence for their gross violations of the Bill of Rights. Now, I would submit that too many federal office holders today, whether they're elected or appointed, behave in this way, as if obedience to the Constitution of the United States is optional. It's not optional, ladies and gentlemen. It's not optional. We have to obey the Constitution or we don't have a country. Now, it's fine to amend, to change. It's probably a necessity over centuries of time that the Constitution be changed. And it has been changed. The Bill of Rights is such a change. There were 12... amendments having to do with personal rights that were proposed to the states, and mm-hmm. the states approved 10 of them. And in addition to those 17 other amendments of various kinds, including this limitation on the number of years the president can be in office, have been passed. So there's been 27. All of these have been approved by the Congress, have been proposed, that is to say, and approved by the people of the states, but not until 3/4 of the states approve them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now this is the final point, my concluding point, and it's addressed very personally to you because I have so many friends that tell me that a convention of the states is a bad idea and shouldn't be held. And this, what I'm going to say now, is addressed specifically to that. Many sincere Americans oppose holding a convention of the states because they say they fear the convention would be taken over by Marxist-leaning radicals
mm-hmm.
and used to produce a constitution alien to the American heritage. Well, I'm here today to ask you to think about this question. Have not these apprehensions of many sincere patriots in our country already been accomplished?
Yep.
Through agitprop and usurpation. They have. Mm-hmm. They have. And well, these apprehensive patriots, I think, Charles, ought to, and everyone listening to my voice, such as it is this morning, these apprehensive patriots ought to understand that many governmental powers today are being exercised in violation of the Constitution, that we're not any longer a constitutional republic. That's what has to be faced and addressed, and we have to do something about it.
Well,
we're not worthy of the heritage that we have received.
Many will say that if they're not obeying it now, why would they obey a changed one? But let's address that issue on the other side of the break. In the Wilkinson Wealth Management Studios with Professor Dr. John McElroy, Professor Emeritus at University of Arizona, and 520-790-2040. Now call in.
Hartman Glass invites you to its Gallery of Glass showroom. For custom shower doors, tables, and glass enclosures. From boardrooms to an exquisite display case for your valued collectibles. Need a glass conference room in your office? Laser measuring for accuracy. 903-0766 and see them online at hartman-glass.com. That's hartman-glass.com.
This is Herman Cain, and if it has a muzzle, a nozzle, or a blade, you'll find your topic on America Armed and Free. Sundays, right after Liberty Watch.
Hi, folks. This is Rob from Blade Runner Knives, inviting you to come see our great selection of popular brands of everyday carry knives, hunting knives, axes, swords, and we are especially proud of our custom and local pieces. We also have a speedy sharpening service. We're at 907 West Prince Road at the corner of Prince and Fairview, around on the Fairview side. Blade Runner sharpens knives fast.
Swap shop trains are coming, rolling down that free market track.
Sunday mornings, you can buy, sell, or trade anything lawful and moral on the Swap Shop. Let's listen.
Don Wells, is there anything you missed on the island?
Oh, well, actually, what I really missed, there we were with nothing to do. What I missed most was the Swap Shop. I mean, what fun we'd have had. I don't know how we'd have gotten a hold of you, but we'd have tried.
Swap Shop, Sundays 10 to 11 a.m., right before Liberty Watch.
I'm Oliver North, and like you, I'm listening on America Armed and Free with Charles Heller. Civilian disarmament is an essential precedent for every dictator who engages in mass murder.
Now, don't be shocked, but sometimes family members don't agree how things should go after a death. This is especially true when money or valuable property is involved. If you find yourself in the unfortunate situation where a sibling or even a stepchild seems to be acting contrary to the wishes of the person who died, you may need an experienced local probate attorney to advocate for your rights. Find out. Call Ronald Zach Law at 520-999-3738 or contact Ronald Zach Law at ronaldzachlaw.com.
Bruce Ash here for Inside Track, Saturdays from 1 to 3. We're still decidedly America first, but now twice the bang. The best guests, great topics, and intelligent talk, all supporting our country's finest conservative ideals and exposing the radical agendas of the left. Inside Track now 2 hours on KVOI, The Voice, Tucson's trusted local news and talk.
Free speech and free press and the right to assemble. Those dangerous freedoms that make bureaucrats tremble. Blessing for the citizens, for the masters, a curse without the second. What good is the first?
Now there's a question for discussion. Without the second, what good is the first? But that'll be for another day. We're discussing with John McElroy, and the topic on the table at this point, an audience, you're welcome to throw in on this and encouraged to do so at 520-790-2040, is that if the argument is against amending the Constitution, that if the Congress isn't obeying the Constitution now, what would make them obey an amendment in the future?
I'll tell you
what. Okay, go ahead.
The threat of losing their place in Congress, which one of these amendments that I propose would empower the governors of the states and the chief justices of the states to do.
Mm-hmm.
If senators and representatives knew that they could lose their place in government, which is what they most want right at present, they would obey the Constitution, start obeying the Constitution.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's, well, they would.
Yeah, I think they would.
The threat, you know, that's why that particular amendment is crucial to getting over or getting rid of this attitude that obeying the Constitution is optional. It isn't optional.
No, it's not.
It's required.
There is an argument, all right, and is that, number one, Congress has the authority to make the laws. And under Article 4, the Necessary and Proper Clause, that Congress is the sole arbiter of what is necessary and proper. So there is the argument that they could...
No, let me interrupt.
No, please do. Pull the mic a little closer.
No, the Congress is not the arbiter of what's necessary and proper.
Well, who is?
The people of the states are the proprietors of the Constitution, and they are the ones, through their governors and chief justices, that should get the opportunity. I get very upset about this.
John, I understand that, John, and I think you get legitimately upset about it. I validate what you're saying. The question is how the idea is, because of their oath of office, they're supposed to be those arbiters of the people they represent. The question is, how do you enforce it? How do you get them to do that?
And you kick them out of Congress. That's how you do it.
Did that work with the speaker?
I'm not talking about the old Constitution. I'm talking about the Constitution that would emerge, I hope, from a convention of the states. And they would, if they lost, if you wouldn't have to apply this new provision in the Constitution very often.
Mm-hmm.
Only a few cases of it would suffice.
Yeah, it would serve as an example.
Yeah, to make the rest of the government know that they couldn't go on behaving the way people in Washington have behaved more and more and more and more since the New Deal.
Yeah.
Now I get what happened. I was born during the 1930s, and I get what you know was going on in the country. The fear that there was in the country. And by the way, Charles, I might tell you and our listeners that fear is a necessary ingredient to Marxist government. I have had some personal experience both in Poland, where I taught for under U.S. State Department auspices in a thing called the English Seminar, which has been going on since 1956 in Poland. I suppose it's still going on today, even after the people of Poland kicked them out. And fear has to be there. Lenin made fear the chief ingredient, the leading factor in maintaining Marxist government. The people have to be afraid. They have to be afraid of losing their jobs. They have to be afraid, in the case of the plandemic that we just had, of losing their lives as well as their jobs. They have to be afraid of not having their kids admitted to university level studies, and therefore not having a kind of life that traditionally associated with a university degree. They have to be fearful of the government in all kinds of ways, what the government can do to them.
Government power.
Yeah, government power. And that's where we are today. We are in a position where we could truly summarize the crisis as the attitude in Washington, D.C., that obedience to the Constitution that the people of the states have ratified is optional.
Yeah, government is master, not servant. Rick, caller Rick, you're live with Professor John McElroy and your host, your ringmaster, Charles Heller. Your comment or question?
If I can tie this into the administrative state portion and the amount of laws that have been enacted through the administrative state, aside from Congress over the past number of years, is it possible, if I can ask this, and then I doubt if I could, I'd like to quote Ayn Rand, who turned out to be, her work is not literature, it's prophecy. If I can just read ultimate question is, how is it possible to roll back these thousands and thousands of pages? Let me give you her quote. I believe it's from Atlas Shrugged. It may be from a similar quote is in Atlas Shrugged. There is no way to rule innocent men. The only power any government has is the power to crack down on criminals. Well, when there aren't enough criminals, one makes them. One declares so many things to be a crime that it becomes impossible for men to live without breaking laws.
That's right. I think probably what I've been saying here in the last hour or so probably has broken some federal laws that have been passed under the administrative state. Yeah,
I believe that she was actually quoting Beria in the Soviet Union when he said that.
Okay. Well,
in Atlas Shrugged, there's a congressman, senator or member of House of Representatives who has a similar quote, and he says they're not enough criminals, so we need to make more laws to make every man a criminal.
Yeah, well, that's
which could yeah which that, is
yeah
a pretty
well
good
my
idea.
My you comment is to sadly enough I regret having to truthfully do this. But I agree with Mrs. Rand. She was right.
There's a modern libertarian book called Three Felonies a Day.
Yeah. The fact is that, as I said repeatedly during my principal points, we don't live in a constitutional democracy anymore. The crux of our problem and the future hope of this country's existence lies simply in one thing: obeying the Constitution that the people of the states have ratified. If we cannot make the government in Washington obey the Constitution, everything is lost. It'll just keep on going the way it has been going for the last 90 years, and the Marxists of the world will get their way. The United States, the great bulwark of freedom in the world, will be no more.
By the way, the book to reinforce that is by Henry Silvergate called Three Felonies a Day, How the Feds Target the Innocent, and it's got a foreword by Alan M. Dershowitz. And I should read the book and get Dershowitz to comment on it. Rick, if you have a follow-up point, we're going to take that at the after the bottom of the hour. So if you wish to stay on hold, you're more than welcome to do that. But we're a little over for a break, and then we'll head into the fourth third of the hour in a little bit. In the Wilkinson Wealth Management Studios,
520-790-2040. Frontier Guns, in business since 1971 at 3156 East Grant Road, is seeking your guns, individually or whole collections. They're not a high-volume dealer. They only buy and sell the guns that you bring to them. So bring them in. 3156 East Grant Road, Tuesday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Give them a call at 520-325-9880 or just walk in with your case guns at 3156 East Grant.
Hi, this is JD from Your Tucson Painter. Are you going nuts staring at your walls? Your Tucson Painter has an app for that. Thousands of colors applied by clean, courteous painters who move your furniture before and after we get done painting. Find us online at yourtucsonpainter.com, yourtucsonpainter.com.
For New York, this brings up the base for the Yankees. Here's the next pitch. There looks like a long punch into the bleachers for a home run.
If you'd like to own an authenticated 1928 ball autographed by Babe Ruth, you can get it at Tucson Coin and Autograph.
At the southeast corner of Oracle and Orange Grove, or online at TucsonCoinAutograph.com and 219-4427.
Welcome to Monoral Radio, where we sing in black and white.
This is Eb Wilkinson of Wilkinson Wealth Management, where we manage money for gun owners. Now that the new year has started, and so have your New Year's resolutions, make sure that one of those resolutions is to get your financial house in order. Now's the time to reach out to your advisor and schedule an annual review. If you don't have an advisor or want a second opinion, call me, Eb Wilkinson, at 777-1911. That's 777-1911 or WilkinsonWealthMGMT.com.
Order in the court.
May I approach the bench, Your Honor?
Yes, you may, Mr. Vinnie. What's with the red velvet?
This is my best suit.
Oh, brother.
What we're going to do today is prove the incompetence of Rossi Auto Repair and how they destroyed my client's rear differential.
Can we get on with this, Mr. Vinnie?
Yeah, I'll show you that the Utes weren't skilled in what they were doing.
Did you say Utes? What is a Ute?
Ute. So we have an expert witness here from Perfection Auto Works, and she's going to tell us exactly what took place. Your Honor, I call my next witness Mona Lisa Vito.
Look, the shop that originally did the diff service used the wrong gear oil and caused the gear damage. The extreme pressure index destroyed the yellow metals when they should have used GL4 gear oil, because Perfection Auto Works would never make a mistake like that.
Your Honor, I rest my case.
You don't need a court verdict to get your car fixed properly. Just call Perfection Auto Works, 323-8650 and perfectionautoworks.com.
I like guns, I like the way they look. I like the shiny steel and the polished wood. I don't care if they're big or small. They're for sale until I want them all. I like guns, I like guns, I like guns.
And we've extended the Dr. John McElroy's visit into the gun hour, where you normally handle topics of right to keep and bear arms, things that fly, shoot, and cut. But this is too important to cut it short, to truncate it at all. And so we've invited Dr. McElroy to stay on for the full 2 hours and for your commentary. And also, Rick is still holding, very patiently, so I might add, to give a follow-up point to what he was talking before about the administrative state. Rick, did you have a follow-up you wanted to speak with Dr. McElroy, about which you wanted to speak with Dr. McElroy?
Well, yes. So I've been to 50 different countries. I've lived outside the country. I spent about 7 years outside of the United States. When I always returned to the United States, there were two things I was happy about: going to get a McDonald's or an In-N-Out burger, and that I was back under the protection of the Constitution and the rule of law. And what scares me, what shakes me to my core, is that I don't see the rule of law being sustained as it was in years gone by. And if you look at all the shenanigans with trying to put Trump in jail and these sham prosecutions, and you look at what they've done to people January 6th, two 73-year-old twin sisters that put one foot on the first step of the Capitol building. Okay, we're going to give you 30 years for disrupting an official proceeding. And this persecution of the January 6th, of people that did nothing more than trespass. I'm not talking about people that fought with the police or pepper sprayed the police. And so my fear is that when you take away the rule of law for every citizen and just apply it to Black Lives Matter rioters and protesters trying to burn down a courthouse and nothing happens to them, but January 6th, someone that went near the Capitol steps and they traced the cell phone and he's looking at 6 years just for walking a hundred yards from the front steps. That is a banana republic. When there's no rule of law, then I have no incentive to be a good, productive, obedient citizen, just like the founding fathers and the Minutemen in the time of the Revolution under the tyranny of King George did not have the obligation to be obedient citizens to the or subjects of the crown.
Well, you still have McDonald's.
Of England.
Well, yeah.
I'm sorry?
I said, well, at least you still have McDonald's.
At least you still have McDonald's and In-N-Out Burger. Except it cost five times what it did from back then.
Let me react to your comment. I wish I had said it as well as you did and as comprehensively. That's exactly so. This phrase, a government of men, not laws, is not of my origin. It originates from the time of the writing of the Constitution of the United States. That was often mentioned in the debates in Philadelphia that summer that produced the Constitution of the United States. And that is exactly what my experience in two communist countries, Poland and Cuba, a Marxist regime is. It's a government of men, not laws. And that's the crux. What you said is the crux of what we face now. We have got to get the determination in our hearts and in our bellies, the determination to make the people that are in our government, that we elect and have appointed through constitutional means to our government, to get them to obey the Constitution that we agreed to live under.
That do it, Rick?
Well, thank you very much. It's an honor to speak with you today, and please keep your material coming, keep your work coming, and keep appearing on this show. God bless you.
Thank you.
We should make it a regular thing. Well, I'll tell you, your spirit certainly goes through America's fabric. I try to keep it to the general idea, and with one exception for talking about the bola tie, which is popular culture, not.
Well, that's popular culture is an entirely different thing than culture.
Right, exactly. Yeah. But I don't want to go down a rabbit hole.
And there are two basic meanings, very legitimate, both of them. Culture as fine arts, mm-hmm. and culture as historical beliefs that have been accepted as the way one should behave.
And I want to keep America's fabric to the latter, and which I have tried to do in your name. So
I'm very appreciative, Charles.
Good. Yeah. Good, good. And so, folks, we have an open line at 520-790-2040 in the Wilkinson Wealth Management Studios if you want to ask a question. John, did you have another point?
Yeah, I would really like to comment on the argument against having a convention that states that it would result in a, quote, runaway convention, mm-hmm. okay, which the John Birch Society unaccountably says the
and the Schlafly-ites.
The Constitutional Convention of 1787 was a runaway convention. What I want to point out to our listeners is that we have today an out of control federal government, mm-hmm. and that's our problem. It's not something that we think might happen if a convention of the states was held. It's what we actually have and have had for some time now, an out-of-control, runaway federal government.
I'll tell you another thing. People say, well, why would they obey a changed constitution if they don't obey it now? And part of the problem is they are obeying it now because Congress has the authority to coin money and set the value thereof. Caller, hold on. Congress has the authority to coin money and to borrow money on the credit of the United States, and it also has the